and welcome to episode 7 of Get Her in the Game, a pitch podcast. I am your co-host, Dee Dee. I go by Dust Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Olivia. I go by Sportifica.
And if you want to comment on the show, you can rate and review us by searching for Black Girl Squee on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, wherever. You can also email blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. So this episode is called San Francisco. It's written by Eli Addy and Kevin Falls and directed by Mary Lou Belli.
And it starts off with Mike entering the Padres clubhouse as the first player to get there, and he goes about his routine. We see him struggling to do mundane things like taking off his socks. We see that he has a lot of tape already around his knees and his legs and his feet. And another teammate comes in on his day off, but that's because he wants to get away from screaming kids at home. And Mike just looks at him and shakes his head. And they're both shirtless in this scene. And it certainly found some actors with baseball bodies, I'll say that.
They push casting.
Yes. So then we see Ginny and Amelia. And Ginny wants to know what Amelia is going to do about the leaked selfies. That's been kind of an issue placed on the back burner for an episode or two. But now it's, you know, just a matter of when. Amelia says that she can keep them out of the tabloids, but not from underground internet sites, although she does have 3 law firms working on it. And they probably have just a couple of days to come out, you know, in front of the issue. Amelia's idea is deniability. She wants Ginny to maybe lie about having a mole on her left hip or something that will prove that those pictures aren't actually of Ginny. But Ginny immediately shoots that down and asks Amelia to come up with something better. The exact quote is, "I need you to come up with something better so I can focus on my job." And for those of us who have been frustrated with Amelia in the past, that's quite the quote. So anyways, Amelia has to tell the front office. She hasn't yet, but she's got to tell the front office about this issue. And Ginny also tells Amelia she's sorry that things didn't work out with Mike. Kind of a half-hearted apology. Same. Amelia says that Mike has some things to figure out, and she's grateful that Ginny pushed her out of the way of a speeding bullet, and now it's Amelia's turn to do the same. So let's see what she does there.
The mole idea is really bad. Really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Laughable.
The Padres' backup catcher gets injured during a game. And that means that LeVon Duarte is coming in to relieve him and Mike. So you can see Blip in the clubhouse, all in Mike's ear about how Mike can't afford to take a day off or pull a hamstring with LeVon as the backup. Because the minute that happens, LeVon will Wally Pip Mike's ass. Ginny's in the background following the guys. She's really eager to show Mike her cutter. But they're still talking about LeVon and Wally Pip. And she doesn't know who Wally Pip is. She finally Googles him on her phone and reads out what she finds. And the guys just look at her, stunned that she doesn't know who Wally Pip is. And she just says, matter of factly, "I was born in 1992. That's all she can say. I mean, what more is there to say? Al calls Mike into his office, and Mike already knows about LaVon, so Al moves on to talk about Mike playing first base. Mike brings up the last time he played first and how he made two errors in one play. So, but Al doesn't care. He's pushing Mike to first base, saying this is a way to prolong his career. And Buck, not thinking about anybody's feelings, just says, you know, that's the kind of thing someone says to a player nearing the end of their career, which is true and accurate in this case. Yep. And not what anybody wants to hear at the moment. So Buck just sees his way out. He sees his way out of Al's office. And Al tells Mike that it's not a Wally Pipp thing, which means it totally is, and calls it a temporary move. Mike says he's not good with moves, which triggers our first flashback. And we go to Linden, California in 1990, before Jenny Baker was even a twinkle in Bill Baker's eye. So we see young Mike, floppy-haired young Mike, is on the couch playing with a Game Boy. So that's a blast from my past. His mom is on the phone talking about moving to Poway, but Mike says they just moved here. And she said they weren't going to move anymore. But his mom wants to play a game called Grab All You Can in 5 minutes and Let's Go, which you can tell by the look on Mike's face is a game that he hates. The next day, she introduces Mike to his new coach, Dave Grissom. Dave also owns the local car dealership, which is interesting. Mike says he wants to play first base, but Dave says he can do a little better than that.
I wonder how people who play first base feel watching this, because first base is where you go when you're old. And then they say first base is, you know, setting your sights a little low as a kid.
Yeah. But, not very kind of his basement.
I will say these Mike flashbacks, it was cool to see more of Mike's story, but they did feel kind of hollow to me. But I guess you can see in this one at least how Mike doesn't expect things to last. And he, you know, suspects that people have ulterior motives, and so yeah, and you can see how that shaped how he is now.
Yeah.
But back in the present, Al is now talking with Jenny in his office, and he's telling Jenny that he's going to skip her next start because the team has 2 days off in the next 10. Jenny is their fifth starter, so skipping the next start allows the team to start their number one pitcher against the Big Bad Giants. Jenny wants to pitch. She's working on a cutter, and she's really cute about it. She thinks it's ready. She wants to show people, but nobody wants to see it.
No.
But Al is firm in his decision, and he's making a lot of changes after Oscar, you know, did all that he did at the draft deadline. And he's very serious about making a playoff push, so cannot be budged about this. On our way to the locker room, Jenny passes Mike and they compare notes about their two meetings, and they've, you know, both were, not great news. Jenny wants to pitch and Mike wants to catch, but Mike says it's not always about her. and they kind of have a little playful eye contact in that moment. Ginny jokes about Mike's spring training stint at first base, and Mike asks about Ginny's cutter, and she's really excited to show him, but then he shoots her down. So,
he's poor Ginny.
And then Amelia, we see Amelia talking to Oscar about Ginny's selfies, and Oscar is upset that Amelia didn't tell him earlier, and I think he, you know, has a point. And Amelia really doesn't know what kind of resources a baseball team might have. I mean, in the real world, we've seen the things that pro players get away with, and Ginny didn't even do anything wrong. So maybe it would have been worth trying to talk to Oscar, but oh well. And Amelia gets to use a word she's long wanted to use, mansplaining. So.
But Amelia also needs to look in the mirror and learn the two words control freak, which is what kept her from going to Oscar when she first found out about the selfies.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to contain everything and control it herself.
Yeah, and I didn't really feel like Oscar was mansplaining. I mean, he was being kind of an ass about things, but I don't know.
That's Oscar. I think Oscar just likes to yell at people because he's been yelling at a lot of people lately. So
yeah.
So Oscar introduces Levon to Mike, while Mike is in the ice bath.
Literally.
And I don't know why he wasn't expecting what occurred next, but hey, when two really egotistical men get together, they want to show each other who's best. And Mike takes this opportunity to make Levon very uncomfortable by standing up and showing everyone what he's working with. Unfortunately for us, Fox did not show us what he was working with.
And let the audience decide,
I guess. Anyways, guys are so weird with this, all this posturing. Mike tries to continue the conversation standing up in an ice bath, butt naked. But Levon just Oscar just shoos Levon out and has a few words with Mike. So they argue about Oscar bringing Levon in to take Mike's job. Oscar says that Levon is pitching in San Francisco, and we finally have an episode title.
There we go.
And he says this is a part-time thing, but he threatens to speed up the timetable if Mike doesn't, you know, get with the program.
Right. And you kind of wonder, and we may have been able to see more of this if Pitch hadn't been canceled. If this is if catchers are particularly cocky. I mean, I feel like that's kind of a universal thing for baseball players, but if there's this is kind of a catcher thing, you know, because people look to the catcher for the game plan and, you know, I guess they're kind of the unofficial leader out there. I always thought it would be the pitcher, but, you know, watching this show, you see that the catcher does have a lot of say in the direction of the offense.
Are they sort of like what the point guard is in basketball or what the point guard used to be in basketball?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, point guards don't really exist anymore. So
positionless basketball. I don't get it.
That's where we are.
So Ginny figures out from what Amelia is not saying that her meeting with Oscar did not go well. Ginny says, Ginny tells Amelia that the team's skipping her start and she won't be pitching in San Francisco. And Ginny says she could take the leering and jeering if the selfies came out before her start. But that's only if she got to play. But
right.
She just really wants to play. She doesn't really care about anything else. So
yeah, that's where she feels in control. So, and again, Amelia really needs to not have her reflex be, you know, when something upsetting happens with Ginny and the team, to step in and try to undermine yeah. everybody else. Because she again was like, I'll go talk to Al myself and make him start you. Like, no.
Someone needs to tell Amelia every episode, like, this is not Hollywood. This is Major League Baseball. Yeah. This is not Paramount Studios or something. Just get over yourself. Okay.
So then Amelia and Mike have a little banter before everybody goes to San Francisco. And it's not as fun as when Mike and Ginny do it, obviously. And it was just kind of weird how Amelia was like, and no, I won't have dinner with you in San Francisco.
Mike's like,
and like, that
wasn't even thinking about
okay.
it. Was probably going to have dinner with Blip and Ginny anyway.
But alrighty. So Ginny and Blip are walking into the hotel in San Francisco. And that's when she tells Blip about the selfies. And Blip's first reaction is to be protective, and he wants to know who it is so we can go and teach him a lesson.
Internet security but the hard way.
So we're glad Ginny has a big brother. But then he stops being awesome, and he says things like, you need to explain to me why you do this. You're a woman. You've got to be smarter than that.
Oh, God.
Blip. You're lucky Evelyn wasn't there. Oh, but it was a good learning moment scene. It was important, I guess. He quickly corrected himself. So in the scene after Blip, you know, said that, he did apologize. And Ginny stood up for herself too. But it was an important moment to see because, you know, not only do guys not get shamed for having revealing pictures of themselves, but we also don't shame them for asking for nudes.
And who, you know what? You know, you can send me email or if you're mad about it, but who are the people most likely to ask for nudes? I don't see a lot of women
mm-hmm.
asking for dick pics because they come unsolicited.
Right.
You don't.
Yep, you really don't have to ask.
But the main people that want nudes seem to be dudes. So they are sometimes really skeevy about manipulating women into providing them. And then when they get them, they want to critique them
right.
or post them publicly or do terrible things with them if they're not up to snuff or whatever.
I remember when the celebrity nude scandal happened, and even one of them said, I can't remember who, it may have even been Jennifer Lawrence, but they were talking about how they would send them to their boyfriends or significant others, and you feel the pressure to either send nudes of yourself or you know that they're going to watch porn right. or they're going to cheat on you. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Wow. So those are the only options.
It's like emotional blackmail. I mean, it is emotional blackmail. send me these nudes or I'm making fun of you. Bye. Anyway, sorry.
And then you see people who just send like a close up of their leg, like folded in half, so it looks like a butt or it looks like a cleavage. That'll be me. If anybody asks, that's what you're gonna get. So,
nope.
You won't be seeing my face.
No identifying features. Sorry. Sorry for my tangent. I went way off the rails. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, Blip does apologize, and then he even says that he wishes he could trade places with Ginny, and he said the internet would not be able to handle Blip unwrapped, but then a light bulb goes off for Ginny, and we'll later see what it was, and
I'm very grateful that it did go off. Wonderful, wonderful idea. I would like to see Blip unwrapped. Anyway, yes.
Conversion of the minds.
Al finds Ginny after the game working in the hotel gym. She's doing an extra workout from the one that she did this morning since she's not pitching. And Al tells her to stop running on the treadmill and go clean up so he can take her to dinner. In the locker room, LeVon gives no comment to reporters and actually pretends not to speak English. Mike gives a good quote about LeVon's enthusiasm and how delighted the Padres are to have him in the lineup. And it's total BS. Yes!
He dug deep for that one. Yeah.
Deep beyond all the
pettiness. He dug deep.
to give a good standard quote. But behind closed doors with Oscar, it's another matter. Mike is calling LeVon a punk. Oscar says that LeVon is not afraid of him or anyone on the team. He's scared of getting deported again or arrested like his parents had been. Mike doesn't appear to be moved by the story and just says that a lot of guys in the clubhouse had rough childhoods.
At all.
Which takes us to our next flashback. Flashback. Young Mike thinks that being a catcher is boring and just wants to play first base. Oh, these mixed messages about first baseman. but the coach tells Mike that being a catcher is the most important position on the field. While he's, you know, hyping up the position of catcher, Dave's wife and kids come up to the field and tell him he's late to the dinner reservations they made. Mike says that his mom is on her way, and he'll just walk himself to the bus stop, that it's not far. Yeah.
That's how you know it was a different time.
So, back in the present, Ginny and Al are stuffed with gnocchi. Which sounds good. Makes me kind of hungry. They walk out of the restaurant and go sit down on a park bench and enjoy the view of the city. Al tells Ginny that the pitcher's mound cannot be her normal. She has to find happiness without it.
And I'm really glad he said that to her, because we see just in one episode with her routine, broken up like that, not playing when she's scheduled to play. You know, she's already, I mean, of course she has other things going on, but there will always be something else going on that she'll have to learn to cope with and mm-hmm. get through without always the comfort of baseball. And again, it just makes you weep for the show we could have had with season after season of Jenny finding happiness within baseball and without it. Damn you, Fox. So Mike and Blip are watching Levon and hating on him. And Mike talks to Amelia about them being okay for Jenny and for the good of the team. And a light bulb goes off over Amelia's head, and she gets Mike to say yes to her idea before she's even proposed it. Whatever will it be? Then the next day, the team walks into the locker room and they see that Levon's missed practice, and Mike chastises Levon when he finally does stroll in, but he doesn't snitch to Al about it. And he tells other teammates who are wondering why he didn't that they've all been late to practice. So here comes another flashback. So maybe Mike sympathizes a bit more than he lets on. Maybe. But going to our flashback, Mike, young Mike himself, is an hour late to practice. And the coach, you know, gives him a bit of a hard time, saying that's not how they do things around here. But Mike says he might have to quit the team because his mom's car broke down and he took two buses to get there. And then we see him walking back to his mom's car, presumably after practice, and giving her money that must have come from Coach Dave to fix the car that actually isn't broken. And Mike's mom decides to get him some dinner to celebrate. So that's another thing that we kind of see has shaped who Mike is. You know, you have to like do these roundabout ways of getting people to love you or help you or care about you. You know, it's not very, it was never straightforward for him. And we definitely see that now with his tragic Mike communication skills.
Yeah, it's got to be hard when your mom's basically a con woman and using you to con people. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Right.
Poor tragic Mike. In the present, Blip's talking to reporters about the responsibility he feels toward the team after being named an all-star. Then Levon walks into the locker room and the press forgets all about Blip. It's really, really rude. It's really rude. Like, Blip is mid-sentence and the press is just like, whatever, dude. And crowds are...
And yet the press, they always want you to give them a soundbite.
Help me do my job, man. Help me do my job, Marshawn. You're not helping me do my job. You're not being professional. Neither are you.
I'm just saying, so I don't get fined.
God bless. God bless, Marshawn.
Yes.
So Levon continues to shine them on, still pretending not to speak English. And then Mike steps in and speaks for him. And we get another one of Michael Lawson's great speeches and great examples of shade and reading while giving a great quote to the class. Speech is all about, you know, learning humility and being there for the team and all of this good stuff.
See, another indirect form of communication. That's Mike.
So after the incident in the locker room, Levon confronts Mike And Mike admits that, yeah, he's jealous that LeVon can skip the work and still hit home runs while hungover. And after a threesome. Because he didn't take two women to his hotel room. Which was part of the stuff that Mike and Blip were hating on him for.
Yeah.
But he knows that LeVon can do that because he's young. Mike knows how to have a long career and make it to the Hall of Fame because he's older. LeVon says, you know, you go be captain. Me, I'll be the catcher. So LeVon's not trying to listen to anybody. And these young whippersnappers don't want to learn. Nope. Ah!
I think you and Mike should go bowling.
Let me put in my good hip and see what Mike is doing next Friday. So Oscar wants to run Amelia's idea by MLB, and Amelia doesn't like that because that takes it out of her control. So she walks out of his office.
Mm. Oh, and that is that. On the field, the Padres are down 7-6, and Al has run through almost all of his pitchers, except for one very willing, very eager, very cute pitcher. He walks onto the mound to make a change. He does this several times, tapping different arms to indicate whether he wants a right-hander or a left-hander to pitch. And Buck tells Al they're running dangerously low on right arms. So finally, Al tells Jenny to warm up. And the bases are loaded. The Padres have a one-run lead when Al calls Jenny in to relief pitch. And Jenny is nervous because she's never done this before. But Al runs down the game plan. He'll bring the infield in, and he wants Jenny to get the next batter to hit a grounder to any infielder except Tragic Mike on first. Because the last ground ball went through his legs, and he's bad. I want to know, where are their first basemen?
Right.
But it was kind of cool to see this, you know, since I don't know anything about strategy in baseball, to learn a bit from that side of things. Mm-hmm. So Jenny does say she's never relief pitched before, not even way back in Little League. But then she says there's a first time for everything, with a little smile, and we even see the dimples come out, and she's the cutest person alive. And Mike's just like, you can't really say no to that, can you? Then we have Jenny, Mike, and LeVon standing there. And instead of turning to LeVon, who is playing catcher here, Jenny does turn to Mike and ask what he wants to do. And Mike stares at LeVon. And Dee Dee, you've noted, he also has exceptional dimples.
A-plus dimples.
Just exceptional, yeah. And before Mike answers, we get another flashback. Take us there, Dee Dee.
Coach Dave is at Mike and his mom's house. And Dave is arguing with Mike's mom. You sent him to scam me, Mike hears Dave say. He hears that Dave has loaned Mike's mom money 7 times. But his mom tells Mike to grab his things because they are leaving, which is like her go-to move, I guess. When things get hot, she leaves town.
Yep.
Mike asks Dave to live with him, and I felt so aff- felt so bad for little Mikey.
Yeah.
God. Because he just wants some stability. He's a kid. He wants some stability. Right. And his mom doesn't seem to understand that. Oh, my God. Dave wishes he could, but he says he has a family. He tells Mike that he doesn't have to do what his mom says if he doesn't think it's right. He tells Mike, if she's not going to be the adult, then you be.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds good. I don't know if it's the best advice to give a child who has an unstable parent and no other way to support himself or take care of himself. If that parent just on a whim, just up and leaves him.
I mean, there are other things you can do when you see that a child is in an unstable environment. Just saying.
Yeah, but I don't think Dave wants to do any of those things. He wants to do what has the least amount of effort and consequences for him.
Yeah, this is where you know, spoiler alert, it hasn't been revealed yet that Dave is Mike's father. But I guess that's where you realize, because it isn't really made clear, or it wasn't clear to me if Dave knew or not that Mike was his son. Because
I think,
I don't know.
If you give the same person money 7 times.
Yeah. 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 You're right. So that's probably another reason why why couldn't he take Mike in? Yeah, he has a family, but so what? Unless he cheated on his wife and he's got to, you know, have this whole confrontation with her, but still. I mean, he knows that if he were to report this situation or something, he would be responsible for Mike, and that's
exactly,
I guess, not what he
He's not a great wants. Parent either. Not for Mike.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get in trouble with his wife because it looks like Mike was a break baby. And that Dave had outside of his marriage, or maybe before he got married, I don't know. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He is fine leaving Mike to whatever his mom is going to have him do. So Dave, you suck. And Mike's mom, you suck too. Back at the game, Mike answers Ginny's question by telling her that LaVon's her catcher. He tells her to trust him. LaVon asks about Ginny's cutter. So,
finally!
She tells him about it. And right now, she's not feeling so sure about it, which is weird because she was so excited about it the rest of the episode. But he doesn't really care. He says to just act like she's going to throw it and just to throw the batter off. He gives a scouting report on the guy because LaVon used to play him in the World Baseball Classic, the WBC. So Ginny pitches. The ball actually does go to Mike at first base, who catches it this time and throws it to home. Woo-hoo! To get the runner out there. Home base throws it back to Mike, who gets his runner out, and the Padres win the game. So
quite a yes, miraculous
very much so.
Ending.
The sportscasters even say they haven't seen, what they call it, a 3-2 double play.
3-2 something? Three, yeah. Something.
They haven't seen that in a long time. So, the team celebrates the win on the way back to their locker room, and LeVon tells Mike, "Nice play. We may have found a first baseman."
Oh, that's right. That's what,
yeah.
Oscar.
Oh, that's traded. Yes. Okay. Because they did that whole who's on first thing. Yeah. And the rookie launches his first flashback. Take it away, Olivia.
Mike and his mom are packing up the car, and he asks where they're going this time. She says that all she can tell him right now is she has an appointment and she's going to need his help. And she does have tears in her eyes. Mike looks back at Dave as they drive by, who's just kind of watching them go. And his mom tries to get his attention by telling him that he doesn't need his father, and it works. She says that that's not how she wanted to tell Mike that that was his father, but there you go. And so Mike looks back at his dad one last time, and he does cry.
Not great at all.
Like, parenting.
I couldn't even tell whether she was lying or not when she said that's not the way she wanted to tell Mike. So if I couldn't tell, imagine Mike.
Right.
Like, imagine this formative relationship. Yeah. And having this formative relationship and not being able to trust him at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank goodness we have Evelyn and Blip, good parents. So in the locker room, Blip's getting cold feet. But Mike tells him they're doing the right thing. And as they're on their way out, a reporter tells Mike a rumor that he might be put on waivers and traded. No trade clause is not as secure as it sounds. And he tells the reporter to ask the front office, not him. The next scene is in a photo studio. And it was a pretty sad episode, but it's about to be turned around.
Yes!
Jenny is in a robe, and Amelia is trying to calm her and encourage her that they made the right decision, this is the right thing to do. Then she sees Mike and Blip walk in the studio, and she feels a bit better. And eventually the whole team rolls in wearing robes, and Jenny laughs. So you kind of wonder if Jenny thought, you know, Jenny wasn't sure how many teammates would have her back and show up. So she hugs Amelia, and Jenny peeks around the curtain that's separating her from the guys, and Mike laughs and pulls it away from her. Can't blame you, Jenny.
Get a peek while you can. We see sportscasters talking about the pictures. For the latest ESPN body issue, way to work in an actual thing that actually happens into the show. They really do a good job of meshing the sports and the sports media into the show to make this feel more realistic.
Right.
They acknowledge that it's damage control, but for the leaked selfies, but also, it's working, so who cares? Because they're talking about this more than they're talking about any leaked selfies.
Right.
And as they should, because we see all of these lovely pictures of artfully posed, naked, oiled up ball players. And it's a good thing.
Sure is.
Thing of beauty. Woo. If you're familiar with the ESPN body issues, they have taken beautiful pictures of athletes like Serena Williams, Marshawn Lynch, Colin Kaepernick, even Prince Fielder, a baseball player, big, thick, lovely baseball player. Shout out to the Thickums. And so they've done good work. And as much as I hate to compliment ESPN lately, you have to give it up for the body issue they do.
Yeah, you can probably count the good things they've done on one hand, and this is one of them.
Yes. So. Jenny goes to take off her robe, but out of the corner of her eye, she sees Mike through the curtain. So she goes up to it and says, "Busted," before shutting it closed again. And again, you can't blame Mike. Just like you couldn't blame Jenny earlier, I guess. Right.
So we see the cover spread of the whole team. Butt naked.
But booty naked. Sports... Sorry. I got excited.
Yes. I don't blame you. and the sportscasters talk about how they've turned a sexist double standard on its head. Once again, Jenny Baker is a legend. Yeah, this all started with her. And which, by the way, from the get-go, she was 100% about taking control of the situation, taking ownership of it. I don't want to say responsibility, because it's not like she has something to apologize for.
Right.
But she wanted to be in front of it and own it.
Right.
And she finally, you know, found a way to do that. And it was really cool to see her team have her back in the process.
So it was, just to be clear, this was Jenny's idea, and Amelia just embellished it by including the team.
Right. Yeah, I think that's where we can see the breakdown, is Jenny first had the idea of having some artfully crafted nude photos that are... You know, the body issue is about looking at athletes' bodies in a, you know, and what their bodies allow them to do. You know, these amazing athletic feats. So to kind of shift the focus, and also kind of point out, you know, these pictures were taken with the intention of being shared. And that's where Jenny can reclaim some control of the situation. But yeah, then we see, you know, Amelia, it was probably Amelia's idea to include the rest of the team. That's where she told Mike to agree to it before he even knew what was happening. And hey, I don't think Mike would have been hesitant to do it anyways. So. back in San Diego, the players get off the bus and they're greeting their loved ones. And now that we've seen, you know, Mike's childhood, it feels even more lonelier than it has in the past to see him just kind of walk through the crowd by himself. And we already know how Jenny does feel lonely sometimes too, and how much solace she finds in being with the Sanders family. So Blip invites Jenny and Mike to dinner. Jenny accepts, but Mike declines. Oscar is waiting at Levon's car to tell him that he's going to be backing up Mike for a while until he matures. And Oscar does see Levon as the future of this team, alongside Jenny, by the way. Future of the Padres right there. But it's so cute. So, but he does need more seasoning, as Oscar calls it. So he wants Levon to take this seriously and start studying hitters and pitchers. We already know that he's good at scouting. And just for him to be ready to step up at any time.
Man, we could have had the Dimple Twins as the future of the Padres. God damn it.
Yes.
All right.
You know, and I think Mike and Levon's relationship would have improved over time into something really fun.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mike's parked outside Dave's house, and because it wouldn't be Tragic Mike without doing something tragic. In the episode, Dave is older and grayer now and has kids outside calling him Grandpa. And the grandkid looks like Mike did when he was young. I'm wondering if it was the same actor so they could save money. But maybe that's why they kept the camera far away.
I mean, they didn't really spend money to make it look like 1991. I wasn't going to say, or 1990, but
yeah,
I wasn't going to say anything. But anyways, 1990
doesn't feel that far away from me, but it's been shit. It's been almost 30 years. God, I'm old. Yeah. The grandkid looks like Mike did when he was young, and Dave is playing baseball with the kid, and then his son comes out just as Mike's about to get out of the car and walk over. But then he decides to get back in, and he rolls up the windows. So no confrontation with his biological dad, I guess. The last scene of the episode, yeah, we see Mike back at home, and he's thinking as he is in his big, house, overlooking a pool. He sits down and almost calls Jenny, but then, puts his phone down. So, and thus we end the show with Tragic Mike. Tune in next time to see what kind of foolishness he will do.
Yep. And he did, you did see, like, he typed in Jenny's name and he typed G-I-N, yeah, and you saw he had, like, he's Gina F and Gina something. He's like, should I call Jenny or should I call
Gina? Notice that Jenny has, you know, her full name in there, and the booty calls just have initials, so.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I guess we should be impressed that
so
he has the initials.
To get people's names. Too. He just didn't bother remembering the full one. So that's,
yeah.
Yeah.
But you can, it does give you some good Jenny Mike feelings, because like I said, we've already learned a lot about how alone Jenny feels sometimes and how alone Mike feels. And so they are quickly becoming each other's, you know, go-to person when they feel alone. They've already called each other late at night to talk about things. So you can definitely see those OTP factors, but
God damn it.
I guess we'll never know.
Also, God damn it.
Yeah.
That's why I really don't want this whole Disney Fox thing to go through. Like, Disney's offering,
what is it,
Fox like $60 billion for a lot of their content. And, you know, a lot of nerds are happy because that means maybe Marvel Studios will get control of the X-Men, but they're looking at more than that. You know, by the end of it, Fox may just end up using that all of those billions of dollars to funnel into Fox News, which nobody needs.
Oh God.
On the other hand, I wonder if ABC Disney would do anything with Fox, with Pitch. That's probably not even something they're considering, but
yeah. Well, that Well, that's really interesting because Fox has is a part of the MLB. I mean, that's why they could use the actual team names and the Fox Sports stuff. So that is interesting too.
Yeah.
You think about Disney and Major League Baseball combining.
They already own so much
content.
With Pixar and Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. It does. I mean, Pitch is a story that is, I mean, in a time where we just see remakes and sequels, and I mean, this is an original story and it's important, and it already took so many years just to get that first season. So, yeah. I mean, if I guess I don't really care who, who kickstarts it, but it deserves to be on TV. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, the further we get from when season one aired, the further we get from it being the same cast. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a shame because Kylie Bunbury is amazing.
Mark Paul Gosselaar isn't getting any younger. But the beard still looks really, really good. A-plus beard. Jesus.
Yeah.
Ah, I just want to fight something. Okay. On that note, let's.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. Not late night hate.
Let's
night.
Wrap it up before it gets too bitter.
Again, I am at Duck on Twitter. Olivia is at Sportivica, and I'm going to spell it right this time. Watch me. Sportifica. Woo! All right. And you can email the show at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com or rate and review the show by searching for Black Girl Squee on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. But please rate it and review us for Apple Podcasts to bring more people to the show. And until next time, bye.
Bye.